You know, a lot of times when you're having a constant dose, a persistent dose of negativity fed to you, you also need a steady dose of good stuff fed to you too. So that being the case, I'm going to bring back a discussion I had that had to do with stress, but also had to do with sexual satisfaction. Yes, let's get some stress relief. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. as we open up the hour with the sounds of Mr. Gregory Stafford, our theme song entitled No One Else. And as I've mentioned before, the very, very talented Gregory Stafford composed and performed this song. You know, we're going to be talking about sexual satisfaction. We began that discussion last week, and I want us to continue that today. There's more information that I want us to glean so that we can put that into our playbook, if you will, of marriage building. How many of you have been married for longer than 28 years? All right. Of all of you who would say that you've been married longer than 28 years, how many of you would say that you no longer have to work at making your marriage beautiful? You're just completely on cruise control. And everything that has to happen to make your marriage beautiful, it just happens because you're on automatic pilot now. You did all the hard work years ago. And now everything is easy. You never have any more disagreements. Neither of you ever gets mad at the other. Everything is gravy and groovy. What are the good things about something being good is that it can always get better. It can be made better. And so we're going to be talking about the whole thing about sexual satisfaction some more today. And as we look into that specific component of building a beautiful marriage, be thinking also about some of the other elements of putting together a beautiful marriage, not just a tolerable marriage, but a beautiful marriage. Now, before we go there, I want us to also, throughout the day, take a listen to some of the issues that have to do with, well, one of the elements that can run interference with, well, sex in general. I'm sorry, sex in particular, but a beautiful marriage in general. Stress. I want us to just listen to a few clips, like I said, throughout the day that have to do, well, with what WebMD is going to be sharing with us about stress. We're going to be looking at this from several angles. On one case, we're going to be taking a look at ways that stress specifically affects women. We'll be taking a look at how it affects men and women and more. So let's start there. Stress.
Whether you're overworked, facing a life-changing event, or just more frazzled than usual, stress can affect your body in many unpleasant ways. It can give you a bunch of aches and pains. Muscle tension, chest pain, and headaches are all side effects of prolonged stress. You may have other unpredictable physical symptoms. Eye twitches, pimples, fatigue, and changes in sex drive could mean your body is trying to tell you to slow down and take a breather. Your behavior can change. Anger, outbursts, or keeping away from friends could all be a result of stress overload. Over and under eating are both signs your tension level could be too high. It's easier to get sick. Stress puts a ding in your immune system, making it easier to catch a cold or the flu, and also making some vaccines less effective. If it goes on too long, stress can lead to obesity, heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, depression, and anxiety disorder. If you feel your stress level is higher than normal, talk to your doctor.
What about it, ladies and gentlemen? Any of you feel like your stress levels are higher than they should be, maybe even lasting longer than they should be? You know, instead of just being stressed for a minute or two, you know, you feel like you're stressed for days at a time. Yeah. Okay. Sexual satisfaction. Remember, she said that prolonged stress, intense stress, can also affect the sex life. All right. Taking a look at what some of the experts have been finding with regards to sexual satisfaction. Remember, one of the questions that was being asked is, how much sex is enough sex? And that is a question. Remember now, we're talking about you, the two of you, having sex with each other. This needs to be a question that both of you are answering and not just one of you, you know, with the husband and saying, well, I guess sex three times a week is enough. And the wife is saying, well, I guess sex three times a month is enough. Y'all ain't together. You ain't on the same page. Y'all got some discussing to do. On the other hand, if the wife says, hey, you know what? I need to be getting with my husband four or five times a week. And the husband's saying, well, yeah, I kind of think that four or five times a month is real good. Y'all ain't together. So y'all need to be talking about this now, making sure that you're on the same page. You got to get to the same page on purpose. And one of the ways you do that is by talking about it. So how much sex is enough? Well, keep this in mind. Recall this. Dr. Amy Meeks, reported a clear relationship between the frequency of sex and happiness. Now, how many of you who heard the discussion last week on this topic recall the number of times per week that the people who were significantly happier had sex compared to those who did not have sex this number of times each week? I'm giving you a clue now. We're narrowing it down to how many times per week. So you know we're not talking about how many times per year. We're not talking about how many times per month. How many times per week . Oh wow, so some of you all are on the ball sure enough. Yes, the people who had sex once per week or more were significantly happier than those who had sex less often. Now, who remembers the, I guess you could say, the caveat to that? There was an also or a but that followed that. The people who had sex once per week or more were significantly happier than those who had sex less often than once per week. But the study participants who had sex on several occasions per week were not any happier than those who had sex only once each week. So when it comes to experiencing higher levels of happiness, the people who had sex, say, once or twice per month may have experienced some level of happiness. But those who were having sex at least once per week were much happier than the people who were having sex less often than once per week. But when you started talking with the people who were having sex two and three times per week, maybe even four times per week, they did not seem to be any happier than the people who were only having sex once per week. Seems like something about that weekly basis. Just based on this study, it seems like weekly is the key. Whether it's once a week, twice a week, three times a week, but once a week seems to be better than twice a month or even three times per month. Once per week. That said, you know, I told you from the beginning, I want you to be thinking about what, you know, how things have been going for you. How do you see this working for you? What works for you and your spouse? Once a week? Once a month? twice per quarter? Four times per week? What works for you all? And of course, it goes without saying that it helps for the spouses to be friends, to have a good relationship in order for the sex to be really working. When it comes to this whole individual, this whole thing about how much sex is enough sex, once or more per week, bringing about the greatest levels of happiness. They said that the results were true for individuals who were in a romantic relationship, including women, including older participants, and those in long-term relationships who tend to have less sex if they have it once per week or more. Interestingly, having sex had a greater effect on the participants' happiness than, are you ready for this? Income. Having sex had a greater effect on the participants' happiness than income. So here's a question. If sex makes us happy, why do so many people lose interest in sex? Well, there's plenty of evidence, they say, that being in a long-term relationship, being a woman, and increasing age are linked to a drop in sexual frequency. Long-term relationship, being a woman, increasing age. Last year, Medical News Today reported that women's sexual desire decreased in long-term relationships. However, and again now to me, here's some irony. Over the seven-year study period, the participants' ability to reach orgasm improved. And for me now, I'm just saying, for me, that runs counter to what I would have expected. I would have expected that as long as the participants' ability to reach orgasm improved, their desire for sex would improve or would increase. Not so. There was no correlation there, at least according to this study, according to this report. And what they're saying, despite the fact that the women in the long-term relationships had improved ability to reach orgasm, they still also had a decreased desire for sex. Especially for those, again, who have been in the same relationship the entire time. So for women, staying with a partner means better orgasms, but less interest in sex. Professor Cynthia Graham from the Center for Sexual Health Research at the University of Southampton in the UK found that more than 34% of women who had lived with their partner for at least, get this now, you fill in the blank, lacked interest in sex. Now, we're talking about long-term relationship. When you hear the phrase long-term relationship, what comes to mind? How much time do you imagine has elapsed? 30 years? 38 years? 29 years? Long-term relationship. And when they're in these long-term relationships, their sexual desire decreases. Would you believe 34% of women who had lived with their partner for at least 1 year lacked interest in sex? 1 year. For them, 1 year was a long time. 15% of men who had lived with their partner for at least 1 year lacked interest in sex. Professor Graham identified a number of factors that were associated with the drop in sexual desire found in her study. For women, these were having young children, having been pregnant in the past year, living with their partner, being in a longer relationship, not sharing the same level of sexual interest, and not sharing the same sexual preferences. For both genders, health conditions, including depression, not feeling close to their partner during sex, being less happy with their relationship, and having sex less often than they were interested in all contributed to a drop in sexual interest. One of those self-fulfilling prophecies almost. Okay, not really interested in sex right now, so I'm not going to have it. If my spouse doesn't approach me, it's not going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, they lose even more interest and become even more committed to not initiating sex. And if my spouse doesn't start it, it's not going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, they lose even more interest in sex. One of the mistakes that a lot of people make is wearing it like a badge of honor that they don't initiate sex with their spouse. They brag that the only time they have sex is when their partner initiates. And they'll go ahead and have sex if their partner initiates, but if their partner doesn't initiate, it doesn't happen. And they boast about having that kind of attitude about their marriage. That's not cool. Marriages are about giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And one of the things that both partners need to give to each other is acknowledgement of each other's desirability.